Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We made it through spooky season. Well, I guess technically when we're recording this, it's
Halloween today.
Yes. So happy Halloween, even though now when you hear this, it's going to be in the past. We hope you had a lovely time.
Yeah, hopefully everyone had a wonderful Halloween.
Yeah,
hopefully it was great.
Everybody got stabbed over candy and, you know, all the things that we've talked about this month. Hopefully none of that happened.
Yeah, exactly. And real quick, I mean, speaking of things that have happened, they arrested a man in the Delphi case, the Delphi, with the two young girls who were murdered, Libby German and Abby Williams, which if you guys, we've talked about covering this case before, but there are some great, like, this has been covered. Honestly, so if you want a good podcast to learn more about this case, Down the Hill.
Yes. I was just going to say that one.
Phenomenal. And I bet you they'll do an update here soon and everything too. I haven't checked it in a while to see if they've had any updates, but on Friday, what was that? The 28th?
Correct. Yes.
They arrested a man, Richard Allen. Yes. And he was charged with two counts of murder. And he pled not guilty, but we'll find out. But, like, he looks similar to the police sketch from before. And obviously the police have so much more information. Like, we got a little snippet where we can hear him say, Down the Hill, which is where the podcast got that name and stuff. Because one of the girls actually, like, they took Snapchat photos of this man, and she recorded. And we got a little snippet just to see if someone could recognize his voice. But actually, it was much longer, and there might have been several videos and stuff like that too. So the police have a lot more. When we're recording, there was supposed to be a press conference today. I haven't had a chance to check to see if that's been out yet or not, but that is huge news.
Absolutely. I feel like it's going to be so interesting to hear all the other things they have once this case, I mean, gets, you know, proceeds with the trial and all of that. It's going to just be crazy to hear. I mean, I feel so bad for the family. I mean, I'm glad they're hopefully finally getting closure, but having to relive everything again and again, hopefully this is the end of all of that. But
yeah, the thing is I know one of the girls' sisters has been very big on keeping this case alive. So, you know, this has just got to be some good closure for her. The thing is, you know, we're still not hearing much about Excelsior Springs and what's going on there in Missouri. I'm still trying to keep up with that. And don't get me wrong. Thank God they have caught the man. They've got someone charged. But I feel like this is just even more so going to overshadow, especially because it is two young white girls.
Oh, yeah.
Heartbreaking. They were, you know, did not deserve it. But we still aren't hearing about these black victims of this man and what they have found.
No, I haven't found any articles. Nothing has popped up on my news. Like, anything I found has been from me searching it, which is insane that there's nothing just out there.
Yes, I have to search it. And TikTok is where I found stuff. One second. But yeah, so anything I have found has been like, I have to search it out, and it's still just a lot of the same information that I've seen already. Or it's like people talking on TikTok, and I'm like, okay, but where are you finding some of this stuff? You know what
I mean? And like, so, is this legit information? I don't know.
Right. So I don't know. So, I mean, we'll be keeping up with both of those. Clearly the Delphi case I've been following since that happened. I remembered when that happened. So we'll still be keeping you guys updated on that. But I do, if you don't know much about that case, listen to Down the Hill.
It is a really, it is a very good case.
Very in-depth.
Well done.
Yes. And I'm just like, I want to cover this case. There's a part of it that wants to cover it. But I'm like, there's already a podcast that's solely devoted to that, that does so well with it that,
you know, maybe down the road. And once all of this stuff kind of comes to light and it's, you know, finally closed case, maybe it'll be nice to bring it back up down the road, but nowhere in the near future, probably. So,
right. So, all right, Shannon, do you want to talk about what November is?
Yeah. So some of you might know, some of you don't, November is Indigenous Peoples Month. So this month we are going to be focusing on cases that specifically, are about Indigenous people, because as you all know, they don't get talked about nearly enough. And there are so many cases where you just don't even hear about him. And it's insane. I wish I would have written it down. There was like a statistic. I think it said like 84% of Indigenous women experience some sort of violence in their life. Like 84%.
Well, that is, and there was
insane.
There was that one case I did bring up some of those statistics, that mm-hmm. South Dakota case.
Yeah. It's
that I had insane. Done before. So, I mean, it's not okay. And so this month, especially, I mean, we try to make sure we do cases of, you know, people of color, Indigenous people and stuff like that as well. But especially since this is Indigenous Peoples Month, we want to make sure we're really highlighting that.
Yeah, because it's definitely needs to be more talked about. So yeah, so I mean, so today, I guess, well, November specifically, and moving forward, I mean, we think it's always an important issue, not just in November, but we're glad that it's at least being recognized now, whereas it wasn't even a couple years ago, right? Was it ever? Right. Did they? I mean, not to the extent it should have been, I guess, if anything, but now here we are. So this week, the case that I'm going to be covering is actually going to be in Fargo, North Dakota. I don't think we've kind of covered North Dakota in a while.
No, it's been a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah. So this is going to be the story of Savannah LaFontaine Graywind. It's a fairly recent-ish case. So I remember when this case happened and I was very intrigued by all the things because it's horrific. But I do want to give a little trigger warning. There's a lot of like very graphic content as far as violence. There is some domestic violence mentioned and kidnapping. So I did find tons of different, if I could talk here, guys, lots of information. I mean, because it is so fresh, I guess you could say there's tons of things you can find. The documentary that I watched, there was a lot of, I mean, YouTube things as well, but the one that I found the most beneficial, it's on Discovery Plus. It's the series is called Lies, Crimes, and Video. This episode was season 2, episode 4, called Nightmare in Fargo. And it's a very good one. I mean, it talks to everybody pretty much involved in the case. And so I actually thought that one was really well done. So, okay. So Savannah Graywind, she was born August 9th of 1995. She grew up in North Dakota. She had 3 siblings. So she had 2 brothers and 1 sister, and they were all extremely like close. They just did everything together. I know we say that a lot about these people, but I feel like those are always the people too, that you hear that these horrible things happen to, are those right. who were like close with their families. And
yeah,
I mean, I think in this case specifically, even though she is an Indigenous woman, I think the fact that she was so close with her family did help at least bring it more to light than other cases probably have been. So the background kind of on that too is that her mom was from the Turtle Mountain tribe, and Savannah's dad was from the Spirit Lake Sioux tribe. So I guess it was not very common for people to marry from outside tribes. So kind of interesting fact, fun fact there. I wonder why. If anyone knows, please let us know, because I did not find more on that, but I think that is interesting. So Savannah, you know, because her dad was part of the Spirit Lake Sioux tribe, is what her and her family did. So that's the tribes she was a part of. They were named after a nearby lake, which I think you talked about this a little bit, Cassie, but we'll just talk about it, because when I was typing it up, I thought this sounds familiar. So Devil's Lake was what they were named after originally. So what I found, just the little snippet of it, little history, was just that they changed it in the 90s to the Spirit Lake Sioux, which, let's just be honest, that sounds much more calming than Devil's Lake, you know, Spirits Lake. I mean,
well, and I think it was white people taking
it was the original
people's words. It was already Spirit, and then the white people were like, Spirit, you mean devils? And let's be exactly. honest there. Yes.
That's the next thing I had in here. I said, as we know, how settlers always misinterpret things and ruin everyone's shit. Like, let's just be honest there. So, you know, they ended up changing it back to that. Especially because, like, in Native American tribes, the devil's not really part of their beliefs. So they don't like talk about it anyway. Right. So that would have been a very odd thing for them to have the lake named after them.
Right.
So, yeah. So there's damn settlers. I just, not a lot of good things to say about them, you know? And also, this is fun fact. I did this. And then, like I said, I wrote all this out. And then I realized later that this is what you've talked about, Cassie. But we'll just, as a quick one, because I specifically wrote in here, fun fact for Cassie. So even though you know, I'm going to tell you anyways, because I was thinking about you when I did this. So this lake, as you know, was known to be home to the cryptid that they named, what did we decide? Untahila? Is that the one you talked about? Does that one sound familiar?
It's probably been a
female serpent. Yeah. Well, you can, I'll go back and listen probably now that I did all this, but yeah, the female serpent that lived in the lake, she had claws, fiery eyes, and made booming noises. She was said to have a diamond on her head, then she would ensue chaos. You know, tale has it that if you looked at her or into her eyes, you would lose your sight or go insane. See, does that all come back now?
Well, yeah. That was kind the of? Manitowoc.
Oh, okay. See, I knew there were so many of them.
There was another one that I had done a couple, and there was like the Devil's Lake serpent, I think.
Yes. Oh, yes. That would be this one, I'm sure. I just found more detail on it.
They described it differently, and that was the one where like there was a story of this one tribe attacking another, and then their warriors were like eaten off the boat or something like that. Yeah, storm
I remember that vaguely. Yeah. Yes. So as I was doing this, I was like, oh, wait, I think she's talked about all that. But, you know, this just, I guess, to tie it, it kind of all ties back together now because that's a part of
it, though. Yeah,
you know, Savannah's tribe. This was like the cryptid known to their tribe. So also, they were, I don't know if all Native Americans were given Dakota names or names, you know, but she was given the name that, you know, the tribe she was born into, they gave her Where the Thunder Finds Her, which first of all, just sounds very badass. Like,
yeah.
Okay. And I feel like it's just kind of fitting for this case in general. And I just really like that. So Savannah was known to just be very focused and driven. And it always really bothered her that Indigenous women went missing and were killed, but never got any attention. She always did want to spread awareness. So it's very ironic that this happens. And it's really sad because, as we all know, like these communities are basically screaming for help and for people to hear them. And it's really unfair that they aren't, you know. So that's a lot of this case as well. So Savannah, she had a boyfriend. His name is Ashton Matheny. He was from the same tribe as her. They had met in middle school and actually started dating in high school. So at the time of this whole thing, the story, they've actually been together for 7 years. And they were expecting their first child together, a little baby girl. They were going to name Hazley Joe, which that's just a really cute name. I love that, Hazley.
They were going to name her. I'm assuming this is a double.
Well, okay. I should actually, I said that very weirdly. I will just give spoiler alert just so people don't like not want to listen to this. The baby is still alive. Yes, baby is alive. Okay.
Okay.
So yes, they named her, I guess. But at this point, she's still in the womb. So that was the plan.
Okay. I was worried this was going to be she was killed while pregnant. And
I can't do those. Like anything with children is very difficult for me. So no.
Okay.
So she's 8 months pregnant at this time and it's August and Hazley was due in September. So Savannah was working as a CNA at an elderly care home and she had plans to become an RN in the future and wanted to continue her passion of working with the elderly while she was a nurse. She absolutely just loved what she did and she loved the residents as much as they loved her. They talked to residents in the documentary and they just lit up talking about her. It's so cute. I just love old people anyway, you know? And so it sounds like they just had quite the bond. Savannah and Ashton were so excited for their future because they had recently signed a lease together. They were planning on moving into their apartment once the baby was here. In the meantime, they were saving up money so they could do that. And while they were doing that, Savannah lived with her mom, dad, and brother in an apartment. So that's where she was. Ashton had previously been working, I guess, in Minnesota. And once she was pregnant, he was like so dedicated and excited about having a family. He ended up moving back just to be closer to her and for the baby to get ready for all that. So clearly they're very like family first type people.
Well, and that's nice too, because it kind of shows that like, I'm assuming his family is still in North Dakota as well.
I'm assuming I didn't find a lot on that, but I'm guessing.
But then, so it kind of seems like instead of him being like, hey, I'm already working here, you move here with me, it was like, our family's here, your family's here, you're gonna have a baby, yeah. Like, let's be here.
So, and they were young, like, yeah, 22. She was 22. She had just turned 22, which I'll talk yeah. about, but that's so young and mature and shows just like,
yeah,
good, just a good guy. And
yeah.
Yeah, just young. But for that, like, I expect that out of older men that don't do that. So.
Right. Listen, there's, yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that they were both very excited about this, that he was yeah. happy and excited and making those changes to make it work for all of them. Like, that's fantastic.
Right. What a good
and
guy.
It makes me sad to know that it's probably not going to have a happy ending.
Ashton, you're a good guy. We love you. Thank you for being responsible. There are a lot of men that are not responsible and love to make babies everywhere and not take care of them. Okay. So good on you. So Savannah also was just super excited to become a mother. She basically had raised her niece and nephew and just, they were her whole world. So nobody doubted that she would be an amazing mother. Even in her obituary, it said, in there, it talks about her niece and nephew and how much she loved them and cared for them and was like almost a mom to them. So we know kind of just the kind of people they are. So this, okay, so August 19th, 2017. So like I said, fairly recent. This was only 10 days after she had turned 22. Savannah was home with her family at their apartment. It was a Saturday, and so the family was busy just doing cleaning and, you know, household things. They lived in the basement apartment of a 3-story building. It was a pretty small building. There was only 7 units at all. So, like, I'll post a picture, but it just looks like, you know, in house where they, it's not like a huge complex. So mm-hmm. very small, very close. I'm assuming you could hear a lot of noise from all the other buildings. Yeah, so they don't know their neighbors, like, well, they were friendly with everyone in passing, you know? Yeah, you know where I'm going with this, maybe? As I'm casting
this a look. I feel like I maybe know this case now.
Yeah, okay, you'll probably figure it out as we get going here, but they're cleaning. It's the middle of the day. There's a knock on their door, and it was actually their upstairs neighbor. So 38-year-old Brooke Cruz. Brooke said that she was working on, like, sewing a dress and she needed Savannah to come up and help her. She said she just needed her to wear it so she could pin, you know, the spots of wherever. So Savannah, or she told Savannah she would pay her $20. Okay, so this is like almost a new mom. She's young. Yeah, she wants the money. A couple different sources said different things where her dad, Savannah's dad, said like, oh, she'll help you, but she doesn't need the money. But then I read somewhere else that Savannah was like, yes, I'm trying to save up money. So whichever, but you get the idea. I just don't want people to be like, that's not what happened. But you know,
I do remember this case and I remember when it was happening now. And I yeah. think I also watched something on it.
Yeah. Just terrible. Yep. So she agrees to help Brooke. She tells Brooke that she'll be upstairs because they lived upstairs on the 3rd floor, I think. She'd be up there in a couple minutes. And so Brooke left. So Savannah had actually just ordered a pizza. So she told her mom where she left the money in case the pizza showed up while she was gone. She said, I don't think this will take that long. And, you know, ironically, before she left, she says to her mom, you don't think this lady's crazy, right? You know, and they kind of laughed. And her mom said, oh, no, she's not, you know, because they were friendly with each other. So you wouldn't ever, you know, I get it. I would. This is where it's really hard and you don't want to trust anybody. But like, even a neighbor, she just thought so.
And especially when you're in the same building, you're like, what? My family is right here.
Yes. Yes. And it is a small building. So even though they didn't really know each other, she's like, I'll just help you real quick. So Savannah leaves and goes upstairs. So a little background on Brooke. So Brooke, the neighbor here, very trashy and just a giant piece of shit. But she, you know, I mean, that's kind of said, I guess, already, you can tell. But she lived with her boyfriend, William Hohn. They fought all the time. There were constantly complaints, you know, to the landlord, and the neighbors would even call the cops on them because they would be fighting so loud. They could hear banging. They didn't know if it was getting violent or they're just screaming. So the cops are very familiar with them and with the building, essentially. One time William had even thrown Brooke into a bathtub, like super hard, where she like had gotten knocked out. So he this time got arrested for that. They just slapped him with a no contact order. But duh, like, obviously, yeah, probably don't do that. But that's it. So,
well, then, he still lived there with her, right?
Yeah. So I don't know where he was in the interim there, but yeah. So they are called to this apartment again shortly after that because, ding, ding, William was there breaking the no contact order. So, like, they just have this history of just crazy abuse, shit show.
A very, like, toxic relationship.
Very much so on both ends of it. So they both had, you know, past lists here with the law. I mean, they had done their own thing. So they both had children. Ironically, Brooke had had 7 children, none of which lived with her and she never saw. She didn't pay any child support and was even sued by her oldest daughter at one point for child support. So that says a lot as well about these people. And I'm sure she got in trouble for not paying child support. That's where, you know, some of her record is with that. Brooke had actually grown up in foster homes. So talked about what a shitty life she had growing up, but it's like, dude, just because you had a shitty life doesn't mean you need to give your kids a shitty life. I get it's a cycle, but like,
And it sounds like oldest daughter was probably taking care of at least a few of her younger siblings.
Totally. And it's like, bitch, you had 7 times to make this right and you couldn't make any of it right. So, okay. William had 2 children who he never saw either. He was actually, he was also charged with not paying child support. And at one point when one of his children was just an infant, he was arrested and charged for child abuse when he had taken his child to the hospital and the baby had a skull fracture.
Oh,
sick, right? Like, what kind of monster hurts a baby? So this is like, I get real heated because he only served 1 year for that. And he just had a no contact order with that as well. That seems to be like the going thing. Just like, just do that. That seems
to work. How many no contact orders are we giving someone before they just need to be sent away to an island by themselves?
So not only is he a piece of shit, but he also, I mean, the system is messed up too. That just shows you right there. If you can abuse a baby and go to prison for 1 year, like, no. Of course, you know, he had a rocky childhood as well. And he, at the age of 16, sued his own parents for child support. So as you can see, it's just a vicious cycle. He doesn't pay child support. He sued for it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of like scum that we're working with. But yeah, so Savannah goes upstairs and this is where an argument ensues. Apparently this argument was about Savannah like mistreating cats. It's very vague, not sure whose cats, who had cats, if it was just stray cats, Brooke's cats, whatever. Clearly Brooke brought this up in hopes to confuse Savannah anyway and upset her, because like, let's be honest, Savannah's like the most caring, sweet girl that they could describe. So I'm sure she's not going to mistreat an animal, but very bizarre. And this is when Brooke said, though, it gets to the point where they're fighting and Savannah pulled Brooke's hair, which I don't foresee, but Brooke said she pushed her and Savannah hit her head on the bathroom sink and fell unconscious. However, I just get this little snippet here. Later, they do show that Savannah didn't even have a head injury. So kind of ironic. So this is all according to Brooke. She said, you know, which we'll go back to how they figured all this out, but this is the story in a nutshell. She said Savannah was coming in and out of consciousness, and so Brooke grabs a utility knife or some sort of blade and cuts Savannah hip to hip and removes her baby. Savannah was alive during this, and obviously there was no medical tools or anesthesia being used. So pathologists say after, you know, looking at the autopsy, Savannah was definitely alive when her baby was cut out of her. At this point, William does come home, sees her, asks if she's dead. Brooke said she didn't know. And so she said that William went and got a rope, puts it around Savannah's neck and says, well, now she is. He strips his clothes, starts cleaning. They wrap Savannah with towels and a plastic tarp, duct tape it, and put her in a bathroom closet with, like, I guess there's like a back opening where they could put her. So
Wasn't she there for a couple days before?
Yeah. We'll go into detail. I just wanted to give you the idea of the crime because now I'll kind of talk about everything that leads up to what happened after that. And it's a bad one. I remember seeing this on the news and it was just awful. Like, Savannah is absolutely beautiful. Like, I know we say that about a lot of the victims, but like, I mean, when you look her up, you will be like, she is just absolutely beautiful.
As you're talking about this, stunning. Like, I'm clearly remembering the case and
it's coming back to you.
It's coming back to me. And I remember following this, and I remember after they finally found Savannah's body, cause that took a little while.
Oh yeah.
And like hearing about, yeah. Okay. I'll let you
we'll go into
story.
It. Don't worry, sorry. Girl. No, you're good. We'll go. So during this time when Savannah's upstairs and we don't know what's happening, her mom is kind of starting to worry. She's been up there for a while. Like, how long does this actually take? So she said her mom instincts immediately just kicked in. So she sends her son upstairs. He goes up there, knocks. Brooke answers the door and says that they were still working on it. They're not quite done yet. She would be done in a minute. He leaves. So more time passes. And now Savannah's dad goes upstairs and Brooke says that Savannah left a while ago. So they're like, what the heck? So what, how would she have left a while ago? Her car is still there along with her purse, and her mom decides like, okay, no, that's not okay. So she calls 911. She explains to the cops that Savannah's not there, but all of her items are still there. She said Savannah would never just leave. She wasn't responding to calls, texts, and it looked like she hadn't even been active on Facebook, which was not like her. They told police how she had just ordered a pizza. And so obviously she wasn't planning on leaving. It was just like a very normal day. Like, you know, we're going to have pizza Saturday night. Also they said how her legs were so swollen that she wouldn't, like, she had a hard time even walking at this point. Cause she was a tiny little thing. I'll post pictures of her pregnant. She was so just cute, cute little pregnant girl.
And that's just it with my son. My legs and ankles swell. Like, I would wake up in the morning, the moment I stood up, I started having swelling, and I didn't have,
I remember, like, when you were pregnant,
I didn't have any of that stuff, you know, anything. Yeah. My doctor was like, you just retain water for some reason. And I was like, yay me.
Yeah. Can't
so,
wait.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So an 8-month pregnant possible. Woman is
she's
not going
to just
take
up
off
and leave.
Somewhere. Yeah.
And especially being that close to like giving birth, like, you don't want to be away where something could happen. Cause she very likely could have a baby at this point. It would be, you know, early, but it's not like it wouldn't survive at this point.
She's
so close to the end. 34
weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind, whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with 2 emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your 2 emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95 and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that birdie with you to make sure you stay safe.
So, you know, they're like, there's no way. So they tell police the last place that they knew she was, you know, was up at this apartment. So the police arrive, they search this apartment, Brooke and Williams, for the first time. They do say it was just a consensual search, which means they can't look into things without being shown. For those of you, you know, who just expect them to go in and start opening doors and cupboards. Like they said, you know, Brooke was just super friendly and helpful. And she just had said that, yeah, that, you know, she had done this sewing stuff and that Savannah had left. And so she had no idea. So you can even hear on the documentary, they have the police audio of them coming in and asking to search. And she's like over the top, like laughing and just calm. And you hear her joking with the police. She's like, whoa, you're a tall guy. And, you know, just laughing. And
they released that stuff in the media when that all happened.
Just so sickening. And she's just more than happy to help, you know, look anywhere. I have no idea. You're more than welcome to look wherever. They look kind of around. There's nothing, there's no sign of any sort of foul play, nothing. So, they leave. Other neighbors did claim though, that they had heard banging that day, but clearly that doesn't really go anywhere because they probably just don't give a shit. Let's be honest. Because of the fact of, you know, she was an Indigenous woman and we know how that goes and it's bullshit. So, her cell phone isn't even pinging anywhere other than that building. So, which they knew she was already there. So that's no help. And they were concerned, like we said, she was about to give birth. So they're like, okay, could something have happened? So they check hospitals, you know, maternity wards, all the things, nothing. So the community really comes together to help and they expand their search. They're looking all over the place. And of course, as we all know, they always start with the husband, boyfriend, whatever. So they do talk to Ashton. And of course they, you know, are reading through the text messages between him and Savannah. And it did look like they had been having kind of stern conversations, not necessarily arguing, but Savannah wasn't overly thrilled that he had been going out a lot and partying. And they had just talked about their future and how they needed to get a little bit more serious, which I'm like, he's a young 20.
He's a 22 year old. And as excited as he is to be a dad, he's still a 22 year old. And his mindset's probably like, I need to get this going while
seriously,
I can before
get
the
it
baby
out of my
comes.
System.
Yep. And I can understand her being like, nah, we need to be prepared. We need to save that money. We need to do this.
Yeah. And I think that's just like normal relationship conversations in any relationship. You know, of course, cops ask him, have you guys ever had a physical fight? And he said, you know, absolutely not. Like he adored her. And he said that they would argue here and there, but that was about it.
And every healthy relationship, there's arguing.
If you don't argue, then that's when you should be concerned a little bit. Yeah. So they do confirm later that he was in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So that's about 70 miles north of Fargo the day she disappeared. So they were able to clear him. Glad to add that in there. And I just think like how awful, once again, your pregnant girlfriend, so your baby and your girlfriend are missing.
Yeah.
And now you're being questioned. Like you just want to get out there and help find them. So that's the last thing you would even think of. So then this is when they realize, I don't know if initially they didn't realize that William lived in the apartment with Brooke. Well, I mean, they would have from the past, but like when they had gone to search, William wasn't there. So they find out, you know, there is a boyfriend that lives there. So let's talk to this guy. So his story is very, very different than Brooke's. So he's extremely helpful. He said he came home and he saw Brooke, you know, measuring Savannah. He said hi to them and he went and showered. And when he came out, Savannah was gone. So, I mean, as of right now, their stories line up, but it's going to get a little twisty here. So during this time, police also talked to William's boss and coworkers, trying to figure out, of course, if, you know, he had an alibi and what was going on. So his boss, Jesus Rio was his name, he talks with police and he says that William had been working the past couple of days, but just complained about being so overtired because he had a newborn at home. Another coworker said William had previously talked about his pregnant wife. So, okay, now that there's a newborn involved, police are very interested in this. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, they've already searched their apartment twice. I don't think I put that in there. So nothing either time. So now here's the third time. They have a warrant this time, so they can look at whatever. So they go back this third time. They knock. Nobody answers the door. So they end up breaking the door down. And they're able to, you know, to look around everywhere. It's still like super clean. And it's just so sketchy because I still think too, with this horrific crime that happened, it's very weird. Nothing was found, which we'll talk about that a little bit more. But you know, they're just looking around at the same crap that they've been looking at. But this time one of the police, in the bedroom, out of the corner of his eye, he sees something kind of move and he realizes there's a brand new little baby wrapped in blankets between pillows on the bed, like clearly trying to be hidden, and yeah, it's moving. So as you guessed it, this baby is confirmed later to be that of Savannah's. So Brooke has no explanation at this point. So they just take her down to the station. And when she gets there, her story at this point is that now Savannah had actually come to her days prior asking her how she could induce her labor. Okay, first of all, yes, random stranger, please tell me how I can do this. And also why. There's no reason that you would even, why would she want to induce her labor?
And even if she did, she has a phone with internet. Right.
It's 2017. Okay. No.
Google's at your fingertips.
Yeah. This random lady who I don't know, let me please come ask you. Yeah. So she said that she had done that. And then a couple nights after that, she said that Savannah came back during the night with her baby and asked Brooke to look after her baby for a little while she left town to figure out her life. Yeah, right, biatch, is literally right. What I wrote. Like,
yeah, I was going to say,
Well, and she has all this family here, but she's also just going to give her random child to a stranger and figure out what, like she had her life in order. Like there's nothing her life to was figured out.
No.
So while they're interrogating Brooke, in the room next to them is William. So he's telling another story that is significantly different. He says he doesn't know who's this baby, who this baby belongs to. He said that Brooke had told him a while back that she was pregnant, so he just thought it was hers. He said when he got home, there was just lots of blood and he didn't really know what happened. He said that he asked her what the fuck she was doing and that was it. He said he had nothing to do with anything. So he's basically saying like he thought she was just giving birth to her own baby or what. Like, you don't see this other body here. Nothing about his story makes sense. So don't even try to make sense of it.
Okay. And I can't remember. Brooke and William, I can't remember this, but they're white, aren't they?
Correct. They are very white. Yes.
So he thought that she gave birth to a baby that's definitely not white?
Correct. Which, okay, all newborns look different. Let's give him that. But he's very dark hair too. Like, yeah. I mean, they both had like, they're brunettes, but like, and I'm sorry, but did you not notice her getting bigger? Like, she's not an attractive woman anyway. And I guess, I don't know body type, but I feel like you would still be able to tell if she was with child.
I will say though, that there are some women mm-hmm. who can give themselves what's called a hysterical pregnancy.
Yes. Where they convince themselves of it too.
Yes. Or there have been women who have done the same thing where they mm-hmm. say they're pregnant and they can like fill their stomach with air to look pregnant. Oh, like there was this woman.
That's weird.
Yeah. I watched a show about this other woman who did something similar, convinced her like other kids and everything that they could feel the baby move. Like, I don't know how she made her stomach feel like it was kicking. Weird. And then she found a woman and murdered her, like cut out her mm-hmm. baby. And
it's unfortunately more common than you think. There's several stories really I have heard of these. Yes. And it's just so scary. I know another one, I can't remember where it was, but like a lady was going to buy baby clothes off Craigslist and mm-hmm. same thing happened. So yeah. it's like, gosh,
that was I survived story though.
Oh, it
she
was?
Lived. Yes. Oh. She lived.
Cause it's just awful. You just don't even know. Just people be so careful once again, like whether yeah. you're pregnant or not, but just, it's so sickening to me, the things that humans do to each other.
Right. But yeah. So in that aspect, if she was like, yeah, I'm pregnant, she could have faked it. But one, if you're very white, wouldn't you at least be like, did you cheat on me? Is this even my
right,
baby?
Right, right.
There's that much blood and you're not concerned for the welfare of your girlfriend.
I know. That's where I was like, dude, you're not even making any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he's telling, please. So then the police kind of play them against each other and the police get pissed. I enjoyed the documentary because they're screaming at Brooke. They're like, tell us your goddamn story. Like they're screaming at her. And I'm like, good. They tell her that William's story is different than hers. And she just like loses her shit then. And she becomes super aggressive and angry. She's screaming at him. And she said that she had been pregnant. And when she told Will that she was pregnant, she saw how happy he was. And she was afraid he was going to leave her if she didn't have a baby. She said later on that she like must have just convinced herself she was pregnant. Like, okay. None of their lies line up. That's the problem with lies. You forget which lies you tell and nothing makes right. sense. So, she even said how one time he had told her that the neighbor girl downstairs was super pregnant. Brooke said that she thought this was him trying to say he wanted that baby. Okay. So she said how she knew he wanted a family so bad and she just wanted to give that to him. I'm like,
maybe
yeah, you had a chance.
Should have like taken care of your children you had and you would have a correct. Family. And also, no. He could have just been commenting like, hey, did you know that our bouncers, they were super pregnant?
Like super prigs. Yeah. That's like, yeah. So she's just full of shit too. So after all this back and forth crap, they both get arrested for conspiracy to commit kidnapping and also for giving false information to law enforcement. So at this point, they know that Savannah's baby is alive and well, but where's Savannah? They still don't know this and they will give no information and they won't talk about any of that. So also I would just like to add that when they did take Savannah's baby to the hospital, she weighed 4 pounds, 13 ounces and there was absolutely no harm done to her. Isn't that a miracle? Like,
yes, I remember that. Like it, especially with how she was removed from her mom yes. without like the fact that she didn't have scratches on her. She was still perfectly healthy.
Yeah. It's insane. I mean, and what a miracle, because I think at least this family has this sweet little baby, like a little piece of their daughter and, you know,
Didn't dad, Ashton, didn't he have to do like a DNA test or something for them to be able to
To confirm, because then eventually she does get released to him and I'll talk about that a little bit later too. But yeah, I'm sure that's probably part like standard, I'm guessing at that.
I'm sure
because a crime has been committed.
A crime's been committed, so like they have to like verify. Yeah. Yes, this is this child. Like,
we don't need to send this baby with someone else they don't belong to,
right?
You know,
yeah. Is there some other suspect thing going on? Right. Here? Do we have two? You Which, know,
yeah. Like yeah. I'm glad they actually did that part of it, because some of the other stuff, it's like, oh, you actually don't care, but
yeah.
So now it's been 8 days since Savannah has gone missing. And someone calls 911. They say they're out kayaking in the Red River and they see what appears to be a body in a bag. It was kind of stuck around this big log that was sticking out of the water. They said they had kind of gotten close and it did smell and it was duct taped. So they were fairly certain, that this was a body. And later these remains are identified as Savannah. So this part just is like, gives you goosebumps, because they were able to identify her from a tattoo on her foot that read "too beautiful for this earth."
Oh,
isn't that like, oh, they said that she was likely thrown over a bridge and was at the bottom of the lake, but due to just decomposition and the gases that your body will release when you're going through that process, her body probably floated to the surface. And they said that it was actually, they were really lucky that that log was there, because they don't know when they would have found her
otherwise
if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, because like actually that's just it, like a lot of people don't realize. Like you can throw a body in a lake or a river or whatever, and eventually it is gonna rise unless you poke holes in it because of the gases, which I'm not trying to tell you how to get away with murder. Don't hit
Right.
someone's body. But that was
But
another
like,
podcast I was listening to. They were talking about that. They're like,
yeah, unless
unless you're
you're
doing.
weighing it down with something, like that's going to happen. And she was little anyway, so I don't really foresee her
But
not.
there are gases that are released from our body after we die during decomposition and stuff, and
Just a
they're
lot
gonna
of gross
float.
stuff. But yeah,
And
it
yeah,
saved her.
I
I
remember
mean,
they found her
her
because she got
body.
stuck on that log.
Yeah. And they had pictures of that on the documentary, and it was like they talk about, like they can tell in the bag where her head is and her, just yuck. I mean, they do show a couple pictures which are kind of blurred out where you can see like where they're able to see that incision and stuff too, which is just awful. But of course, now that they have her body, they also add another charge to Brooke and William. So then they're charged with conspiracy to commit murder. So this is when Brooke finally just like breaks down and she pleads guilty to all charges. Part of the agreement for her to avoid the death penalty, of course, was that she would tell the police everything. So she admitted that her plan all along was to take Savannah's baby. Yeah, we know. They asked her, how in the world did she hide this baby when police came 3 times? And how did no neighbors hear this baby crying, let alone this baby's family downstairs? Imagine hearing a newborn cry and your daughter is missing. Like, I sickening. And Brooke said that the baby was just a really good baby and just didn't cry very much. She said the first time that police came, she put her in a duffel bag, and the second time in a dresser drawer. So sick, absolutely awful. And I
Wasn't
just,
Savannah's body in there for at least one or two of the visits, too?
yeah, which that's what I'm going to talk about actually
Okay.
next. So this is
Sorry.
crazy. No,
Getting
you're
ahead.
good. You're good. Those are legit questions. And so authorities, now that they know all this, they're like shocked at how clean that apartment was, and there was no sign of anything. They said there was literally no blood evidence anywhere. So they said because of that, they can even prove more that it was planned and that they probably just laid a tarp out on the floor to avoid a big mess and it would be easy cleanup. They think that while they were cleaning up, they put Savannah in the bathtub. Then they moved her body to the bathroom closet that we had talked about sooner, like before earlier. Where she was that first time the police searched, if they would have just looked in that cabinet, her body was there. So after that, William hollowed out a dresser. He took the drawers out of it and he put her body inside of it, then nailed the back of it back on. And the second time that they came and searched, her body was in there. So, I mean, I guess it was still new enough that maybe there wasn't a smell yet, but who knows? Like the pictures, the evidence pictures of their apartment, it's like so clean that it's like, I really don't foresee her being this great housekeeper based on everything else. So
Well, and
kind of
like,
bizarre.
who keeps their house that clean all the
Yeah,
time anyways, you
no.
know?
Yeah. So they said that after, the police had searched that second time, one night after that, they moved that dresser down to William's truck. They carried it down the stairs and he later disposed of it. So they think that he threw that over that bridge. But the weird thing was, they never did find any pieces of this dresser, which is kind of odd. So,
That
but I guess
is.
in a river, a lot of, I
I
mean, that
mean,
can take a lot fast, go fast. And it
right.
would had been 8 days by the time they finally found her. So,
Right. And I mean, well, and I mean, the drop alone probably broke up the
oh,
dresser
yeah,
anyways,
for
depending on
sure.
how high up it was and everything. But like, yeah, that's no, yeah,
Yeah.
I remember this case vividly now, 'cause I'm like, how the fuck do you go into this apartment
I know. And find nothing.
and
And
find
also,
no
I think a lot of it was they didn't really care, which kind of all ties back into the whole thing about Indigenous people not getting the
Yeah.
resources and help and treated the same as other people.
Yeah.
So during the autopsy, they do reveal that Savannah had a cut about 10 inches long from hip to hip. And there were also about 7 other small marks that they referred to as hesitation marks, where they guessed that she started to cut, but then kind of second guessed it. They also were able to determine that she had been alive for this. And the only way they could possibly describe the kind of pain she experienced was excruciating.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said it was just a miracle that there was no damage or harm done to the baby. And when they asked Brooke how she even knew how to do that, she said she watched several C-section videos and was like obsessed with childbirth. And around their apartment, they found several anatomy books. They also searched their phones, like their search history in their phone. Like, they're stupid. They don't clear anything, you know, like, duh.
Yeah.
On her phone and on William's phone, they found things like, how long can a baby live if the mom is dead? And can a baby survive without oxygen for 2 minutes? Like, that's just the nail in the coffin there, I think.
Yeah.
And because of the state of Savannah's body, when they found her, they couldn't confirm an exact cause of death. They said it was either from blood loss or strangulation. The ligature was still around her neck. And this is when Brooke said that William had put it on her and then just said, well, if she wasn't, you know, dead before, she is now. There's kind of a lot of speculation on that too, on who actually put the rope around her neck. William said it was around her neck when he got home already, but based on like the extensive violence in this crime, they also believe that it would have taken two people to do this, to hold her down, and especially with no harm to the baby. So
yeah. Also, I'm wondering how they had to have done something to muffle it. So she, if she wasn't screaming,
I know. I
mean, unless she was, I mean, she was probably in and out of, I hope to God she was in and out of consciousness.
I know. You would almost think you just pass out from the pain. Like, yeah.
Like going into shock and.
Oh yeah. They're a special pair here. Other stuff they found on Brooke and William were just like texts that they had sent each other that were very sexually deviant. They had conversations about kidnapping women and then having sex with them and killing them. They used ligatures when they would have sex. And even an ex girlfriend of William said that he would always want to choke her. Brooke said that William had a sexual fantasy of killing a girl by roofing her and then killing her. Brooke, of course, you know, blamed all of this on his drinking. She said that he always just said that stuff when he was drunk. And she also said she knew he wanted a family so bad that, you know, she wanted to give him one. And she'd even had her tubes tied, which I think is crazy then later to claim that she was pregnant. But William said, well, Brooke is so smart that she was able to convince me of like ways how she could still get pregnant. Just like a lot of weird crap that just solidifies that they did indeed do this.
Yeah.
There is other evidence that showed William buying diapers at Walmart after Savannah had been missing, and other baby supplies. They also found footage of him at a store buying duct tape prior to Savannah missing, proving the premeditation there. And of course that tape that he had bought was the same tape that was wrapped on the tarp around her. And he still denied having anything to do with it till the very end of this whole thing.
Of course.
So when he went to trial and for this, they brought up that past charge of child abuse that he had been charged with way prior. I don't even know what year. But because of that charge, they did sentence him to life in prison. But get this shit. They appealed it. His attorneys appealed it later on. And they said that his previous charge of child neglect was not related to what he was currently being charged with. And it wasn't related to that case. And they won that appeal. And he was only charged with the two lesser crimes of the kidnapping and the giving false information. And he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Isn't that disgusting?
Is it not like disposing of a corpse, accessory after the fact?
Yeah.
Even like
so much. They were, you know, of course his attorneys say, you know, he has a chance to be rehabilitated, and it's like, no. People who hurt children and do this kind of thing, like, that's not happening. So when he gets out in 20 years, like, Hazley Joe, you know, she would be like graduating high school essentially. Like, is he going to retarget this family? You just don't know.
Let's hope he gets targeted in prison.
I hope so. Nobody likes people that hurt kids. So, and even then, I mean, just, it's an awful thing. So naturally, you know, her family is livid. They said he looked us in the eye and lied about where our daughter was when she was in his apartment that whole time. Yeah. They said he deserves to be in there the rest of his life. I was blown away by that. And it even says in there that they won't disclose where he's incarcerated for his protection. I'm like, yeah, because people think it's BS.
Hopefully someone in there finds out who he is and what he did. Mm-hmm. And
yes, takes care exactly.
of it. I'm awful. Listen, I don't give a shit. If you're already in prison because you fucked up and you're a horrible person yourself, get rid of this person.
Yep. Agree. So back to the little baby, once we talk about her too. So it's September 11th. So this was 3 weeks after Savannah was murdered. Hazley Jo was reunited with her family. So she was perfectly healthy, and which I will link this in the notes here too. There's a Facebook page that the family gives like updates on her and her life and Aww. Stuff. And she's just the cutest, beautiful little girl. She looks so much like both of the parents, I think. Oh. So a year after all of that happened, Ashton even did an interview with Inside Edition where he showed Hazley and he talks about trying to make her first word be mama. He said that every day, I know, right? Every day he is just reminded of Savannah because of how much Hazley Jo looks like her. He said, I miss Savannah so much. I never put love into someone like I did her. And, you know, I feel bad for him. He had to grow up really quick and become a full-time single dad.
Yeah. I'm like on the verge of tears just hearing you say he wanted her first word to be mama and stuff. Like,
I know.
Oh my god, what I know. Beautiful young man he is.
I know. I love him. And there's, you know, pictures at the trial of him holding Hazley Jo with his hand down, and you can just see him crying. Like, it's just a stoic picture because it's like, oh. But he, you know, he said that they're doing great. They were finally kind of in a rhythm of life. And he, you know, she lives with him. He says that she's just a very calm, happy little girl and always smiling. So that update page is kind of neat to be able to follow along and seeing that they are awesome. So open with her and showing her. Savannah, you know, she had a huge funeral with over 1,000 people there. Everybody there wore red, which is kind of a thing. The Missing and Murdered Indigenous organization kind of coined that to bring awareness to missing people. Red is like their color. So everybody wore red. I just think like goosebumps being in there, I'm sure. And there's even like a memorial on Red River Bridge where Savannah was found. There's a plaque on a tree nearby with her name and picture on it. And I thought this was so cool. Near that area, there's this giant sunflower field. And they said that sunflowers were her favorite flower. So like that was kind of neat. And you know, with that too, I was going to kind of go into a few of these things. I actually just had it all written down because it was like so much. I'm like, I'm not typing it all. In just kind of how things were handled. So, you know, of course Savannah's family, you know, went after the police and all of that and said that they didn't handle it right. If they searched that many times, like, yeah, they probably couldn't have saved Savannah, but you know, they could have got that baby sooner. Who knows what could have happened.
They could have had her body sooner.
Yeah. The police said that they didn't do anything wrong. They went in under the assumption that they were just looking for a person, not that she was dead. And I'm like, that is sickening. That is the problem right there. And of course this just, tribal leaders were just outraged by this whole thing. And so this is when they started this act. They called it Savannah's Act. I'm just going to read exactly like what the website says it is. Yeah. And then I'll kind of summarize it. So let me see here. Okay. So Savannah's Act is to, they want this to provide training to law enforcement agencies on how to record tribal enrollment for victims in federal databases. To help develop and implement, thank you. Sorry, I had to say that. I wrote it weird, so I didn't know what I was even saying. Implement a strategy to educate public on national and identified person system. Conduct specific outreach to tribes, tribal organizations, and urban Indian organizations. I would just like to add, I know Indian is not the correct term. They have not changed that language in a lot of things, so I'm just reading what it says. So, to organize, okay, regarding ability to publicly enter information through national and unidentified person system, to make guidelines to cases involving murdered and missing Indigenous people, provide technical training to agencies, to report statistics accurately, to basically what I got out of that was the whole thing was to address large gaps of information, train law enforcement better and more effectively to work on specific cases like this, and to improve communication between state, federal, and tribal officials.
And that I kind of brought up in that one case that I did too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's where a lot of miscommunication and stuff, like stuff's not shared. And
No, and then the ball gets dropped. And so the Senate passed this, but then this giant turd, I don't know what else, a Virginia senator actually blocked it once it was about to be done. He said he didn't have a problem, you know, with that itself, but he felt that the language needed revisited about law enforcement. And, you know, that was the last thing he did in office. This guy, like, he just sounded like he just wanted to stir the pot before leaving. Yeah. It's probably some white supremacist. I can't talk today, Cassie. You guys know what
he's
I'm saying.
He's a white supremacist.
Like, thank you. And so eventually, I'm glad to say that it does eventually pass in October of 2020, even though it took that long, at least it passed. And with that, the Not Invisible Act kind of went along with that. And that's just to help increase in government, like, I'm trying to read my own notes here. My gosh, like violent coordination of different crimes and stuff in the lands and the Native Americans that they all live on. And just to bring the information forward in statistics. So, and then, you know, there's lots of different things you can do. Of course, the missing and murdered Indigenous women, we can link that. And on their website too, there's, you know, they talk about lots of different events that they do. You can donate. You can actually make a donation in Savannah's name, which is really cool. And they do different events. Like the one that I thought was really neat was they did this red purse event. They called it Pass the Purse, where at this event, people passed around this red purse and donated money. They raised over $1,700 at this So like there's a lot of neat events and ways, you know, actionable items that you can take part in. Another one was Safe Women, Strong Nations. And then there is a Savannah, like a memorial page in her name on Facebook as well. So there's a lot of information there. And I know I just spewed out a lot of things that probably don't mean a lot to people, but when we put those in there, it kind of just tells you how you can get involved and kind of make this a bigger thing. But that is the case of Savannah Graywind. And it's just
heartbreaking.
A very, very sad case. She was just beautiful. And the fact that she was so passionate too about, you know, Indigenous women going missing makes it even that much harder. But because of that, at least a couple good things came from it. And hopefully we'll just keep going in the right direction. But
yeah, and we'll link those things in the show notes. And that's something that, I mean, we'll probably be talking about quite a bit over the course of the episodes these months and stuff too. So we'll have those all linked. Again, you guys, you can reach us at Twitter, Facebook, email at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram, TikTok. Send us any questions, story ideas, concerns.
All the things,
you know. Sorry, Shannon's got to get going.
I'm just chatting away and I'm like, I need to leave my house in about 5 minutes.
So that's why this one we're going to be a little short. There are things I wanted to talk to you about, but next time about shows. So.
Oh yeah, totally. We'll do it next time.
Yes.
Lots of stuff. So
until next time, stay Heartland kind,
but Darkland wary.